This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we welcome you back on a Sunday morning. We're with you until noon. Pete Medhurst, nice enough to join the fray and help out. While my voice is, crackling all over the place, Tommy Lavero out sick this weekend. He'll be back with televisions, Nick Ashew, televisions.
Didn't you
Nick
see the email, Ashew. PJ? PJ's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Televisions, Nick Ashew.
He's no longer 106.7 The Fan, right. Nick Ashew. He's TV.
Right.
I'm surprised Ashew. He returns my text message still.
Yes. Televisions, Nick Ashew will be doing some radio with the Peons next Saturday morning, and then I'll be back with Tommy next Sunday morning in this time slot. But Pete Medhurst, nice enough to join the fray and help out. He'll also be hosting Nats Talk Live today after the ball game, 1:35 start. Before that, we'll turn it over to Craig Heist at noon from Nationals Park. He'll lead you into Nats on Deck with Charlie and Dave at 1:05. Going to be a hot one out there, Pedro. It is mid-90s, I guess, is what they're saying.
Heat index is going to be up above 100, though. So if you're coming to the ballpark, please drink water, be hydrated. Don't, as much as we want you to spend money on beer and things like that to help the franchise, 12 of them might be excessive today.
You're like, as much as we want you to spend money.
Well, the more money you spend for the club, that's more money they can spend on players.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's other ways that they could spend money on players. I'll say it like that. I'll leave you out of that one. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 is the toll-free number. So one of the things I wanted to get into in this hour is there were so many controversial officiating calls on Thursday night in just a miserable preseason game, right? A game that, quite honestly, probably about 500,000 people saw either in person and on TV. And already there is this bang the drum, as always there is. Every preseason we deal with this. The NFL officiating is horrible. The NFL officiating has a major problem. This can't be what it is like during the regular season. And there were a couple of controversial calls. And I wanted to just start with this before we individualize everything. You're a guy who does, among your many other jobs, you do a lot of officiating of both baseball and basketball off on the side, right?
Yep.
So you are somebody that can speak to experience without being a Major League Baseball umpire, a professional basketball referee, certainly, obviously, a different sport. You're not a football official at all. But officials of all sports find themselves in a very, very, very precarious situation where we have all this video evidence, we have all this video technology, we have the whole fan testosterone type thing, which you often see whenever your favorite team gets jaded or whenever your favorite team gets the short end of a call, which is what happened on Thursday night. And I guess big picture, I would ask you, in your own personal experiences, Pete, as we go along in life, is it getting worse and worse to try and officiate these games and also deal with the constant complaining, bitching, moaning, screaming, the people that think they know everything and don't really know anything? Is that your experience, or does that seem just the way it is in major professional sports because the stakes are so high and everything is so public?
Stakes are so high at the pro level. Stakes are so high because there's so much money involved in it. Anytime you have that kind of financial investment in it from each team, players, a guy that gets called for PI could be cut Monday. Guy that makes a great catch, he could be getting a contract extension Monday. I mean, really, that's the kind of world that we live in. Each individual play for each individual player could mean the difference between long-term life with a club, short-term life with a club. And I think just to take Thursday night in general, look, no official whether it's fast pitch softball like I do with my man Ron Ludwig, or basketball or whatever, football, no official wants to blow the whistle. No official wants to throw a flag. However, if under the rules of the game, and if you've seen enough exhibition football, obviously, yeah, covering beats before, what happens is we have so many less than NFL caliber players playing in pro exhibition games now, because back then we'd have, after a couple of games, you'd cut down and you wouldn't have 90 guys, you'd be down to 70 guys. So the closer you'd get to more representative guys, we'd have less. But what happens, Chris, we see it all the time. We all get up in arms over new rule enforcements
and enhancements,
new points of emphasis in officiating. And then as soon as the regular season starts, we almost go right back to where we were. In other words, we're going to call the hell out of this in the preseason, so you're conscious of it.
Yep.
So in the regular season, you don't do it. My problem with where we've gone now with all of the technology, and I'm all for the technology. It's 2019. It's not 1974 with the Immaculate Reception where we're all looking for the replay. Guess what? If we'd had replay back then, we still wouldn't have been able to overturn Franco Harris's Immaculate Reception, because we never had a view that was clear and discernible as to whether the ball actually touched the ground or not. So Franco's play, everybody wants to say, oh, if they had replay. No, there was no angle, because back then we only had four or five cameras on a game.
Right.
Now we have so many more. As you and I were talking about in the hallway, if Al Riveron and his staff of however many people they have in New York, because when nine games are going on at one time, you're going to have multiple reviews happening. Al can't rule on all of them, okay? But if we're going to do this in 2019, we have to have a live all 22 feed available to New York when they go through this replay problem, because we cannot have what happened on Thursday night, where the problem was not Kelvin Harmon coming back to the ball, jumping up in the air, and then getting run under by a DB.
Right.
It was allegedly
something that happened,
he did
up the field,
pushing off up the field.
Right.
Now, the views that you have in the exhibition season, you don't have the same amount of cameras as you do during the regular season. So there was no view available. So thus, we have to trust what the official saw was correct.
Right.
So in that case, if we're going to do this in the regular season, we need to have the live all 22 feed available. So Al Riveron, or whoever, can go back now and look to see, okay, 10 yards back up the field, did Kelvin Harmon throw a forearm in the guy's chest to get some separation or push off with extending the hand? Because if not, that call has to stand the other night. And we're sitting there the whole game going, my God, they called Kelvin Harmon for PI because he jumped up in the air over a guy's shoulder to make a catch coming back to the ball. Because that's what we were all pissed off about. That's what we were all up in arms. That's what Twitter was going crazy for the other night. I think a lot of what happens in preseason, you see a lot of flags because there's a lot of less than NFL caliber players.
Yeah.
So I'm not out here criticizing the amount of flags that get thrown, but something like that, that a guy appears and Jay Gruden's under the impression, why didn't the officials, somebody didn't even communicate to Jay down on the field that, hey, the problem wasn't Harmon going up in the air.
Right.
It was something down the field. And that's where Sean Hockley, as the head referee, has to send word to the line judge on that side, whether it's the head linesman or the line judge, depending on which side the Redskins were on, say, tell Coach Gruden it was something further back up the field. It was not on the jump, because that's what Jay and his staff thought that was about the other night.
This leaves us with all sorts of questions and all sorts of issues, and some of them I wanted to get to. Some of them we already discussed, like you said, off air, but I wanted to bring them on the radio and to the attention of the fans and kind of discuss how the NFL can improve the whole entire system so that fans are better educated, so that media is better educated, so that the problems that we had Thursday night are somewhat fixed. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, along with Pete Medhurst. I'm Chris Russell. Good to have you with us. We're with you until noon. Craig Heist, at that point, from Nationals Park on the Fan. All right, 10:18 on the Fan. Good to have you with us on a Sunday morning, along with Pete Medhurst. I'm Chris Russell. You just heard, you'll hear from PJ Elliott coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Get back to you at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. So, in addition to the controversial nature of pretty much every set of officiating in every game that people watch, and it's just, it's becoming overwhelming, You have stuff like what happened on Thursday night where you had a bunch of controversial calls, right? Probably the most controversial of them that enraged everybody was the was the Kelvin Harmon offensive pass interference call. And so much so that, and I've never seen this, we needed a pool reporter to talk to a lead official after a preseason game. Nobody ever does that.
But everybody wanted to know, like, just to the point we just made, everybody right. wanted to know, was that flag thrown because Harmon allegedly interfered at the point high-pointing the football, or
exactly.
was it something else?
But this is where the NFL Pete can do a much, much, much better job. Number one, people just say, well, full-time referees, make the call, whatever. That's a whole separate issue. They did not do a good enough job explaining this on the field. Again, Ed Hockley used to be the most popular guy because of his biceps and because he explained things and over-explained things and so authoritatively. You would think his son, apple off the old tree, right, would pretty much do the same thing. So they don't explain, okay, here's why we called offensive pass interference. Worse is when Rhiannon Walker of The Athletic, who's the pool reporter assigned by the Redskins or assigned by the media, I don't know how all that works, she talks to the lead official, again, Sean Hockley, after the game and says, can you walk me through what exactly was the reason for offensive pass interference call on Kelvin Harmon? She's not asking about all the calls. She's asking specifically about this call. She said, what constituted the pass interference there? Do you know what? Here's what the league says. Quote, well, we're not going to talk about what constituted it because what happens here is the ruling on the field was offensive pass interference. And remember, in replay, we start with the premise that the call on the field is correct. And unless we have clear and obvious visual evidence to overturn the ruling on the field, we will not do that. That's not the question. The question was, what constituted pass interference on Kelvin Harmon? She's not asking about procedure. She's not asking why they didn't overturn it. And the league is spinning it and not answering it and diffusing it in a way so that we don't get an answer of how dare you question why we called pass interference, or how dare you ask what constituted pass interference there. No. This is not how we're going to do things. We're going to tell you we didn't have visual evidence to overturn. Fine. Great. Congratulations. That's the rules. Then Friday afternoon, Pete, they come back and they realize how phony baloney their stupid answer was and the fact that nobody still understands what the hell happened. And then all of a sudden, they find this superimposed camera shot of Kelvin Harmon pushing off at around the 50-yard line. Oh, here's why we called offensive pass interference. This is the problem. You have questionable or controversial calls, and then you don't have anybody on the league's end. You don't have any way to tell the media and therefore the fans and the viewers what the hell we're calling and why we called what we called.
You hit it all the way back at the very beginning of what you said. Growing up, we had the greatest run of NFL referees in the history of this sport. Jim Tunney, Gene Barth, Ben Dreith, Freddie Wyatt, Pat Haggerty, Fred Silva, Ben Dreith. We had Jerry Mark Bright to this day, he and Jim Tunney, the two greatest NFL referees of all time. It's hands down. It's not even close. Jerry Seaman, who went into the league office after he retired to be the head of the officials. We have now the worst compilation of head referees in the NFL from the standpoint they sound so uncomfortable and amateurish when they turn their microphone on to just report a foul. All of those guys back in the day were fantastic at it. They were smooth as silk, and you had no problem. Now, Ed Hockley was so good, Ed Hockley would have said, 81 on the offense, pushed off back at the 45-yard line. Therefore, that's offensive pass interference, yada, yada, second down. Okay? Ed Hockley, you had it. Perfect at explaining things. Sometimes did he go overboard?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But on a play like that, you would have had more than likely no question about what had occurred because Ed Hockley would have given you a better explanation. And at least would have given you a better explanation in the pool report afterwards. How hard is it for Sean Hockley to say, my side judge had 81 on the offense, pushing off back at the 45-yard line. That's why the penalty was called. Because you know what, Chris? I think you're right. That's not what they had.
Right.
That's not what they had at that point. Because if it's easy, it saves your ass.
Right.
If you simply say that, everybody goes, oh,
now
okay,
we see why you called
that's
it.
Why. We thought.
But it also informs everyone.
Yes.
You said earlier, at least tell Jay Gruden.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Even if they don't want to explain it on the mic, on field, yes, tell Jay Gruden exactly.
Good crews do that all the time, Chris. If you've ever worked, I work sidelines for Navy for years before I went up in the booth doing play-by-play. I watch the head official tell, because the coach on the sidelines, Ken Niumatalolo, is apoplectic, asking, what was that called?
Right.
You know, why was that chop block called? Because chop blocks are called incorrectly against us all the time. And you'll hear the side judge or the line judge, whichever guy's assigned to that sideline, he'll come over and say,
here's
coach,
why we called
yada,
it.
Yada, yada, and then coach gets even more apoplectic because he knows the official's wrong. But at least the referee tells that guy, go tell the coach, this is what we called and why we had it. And sometimes even the head referee will go over and do that because the coach is obviously animated at that point.
Which is only the right thing to do.
Just do something so the coach, the staff, because especially in preseason, if the receiver does something wrong, they want to know about it, so it's a teaching moment for the player.
Well, it's not going to solve fans' frustration and maybe during the broadcast, but at the very minimum, if you explain why we called what we called to Jay Gruden, in this case on Thursday night, Jay Gruden doesn't come out in the postgame and say, I'm going to coach Kelvin Harmon to do what he did all the time.
How many times do you hear it, especially in the national broadcast, the Sunday Night Football and the Monday Night Football broadcast specifically, Al Michaels will say, New York has told us, this is such and such, such and such.
This is the
happens
reason
on
why.
Monday Night Football
yeah,
as well.
No, you're right.
You know, people you know, the league said yada yada. This is why this was called. We need to have better clarification for that on all the broadcasts.
Yeah.
We need to have better clarification. It's good communication on the network broadcast where they're paying even more money.
Yes,
but we need to have that kind of communication on all the broadcasts, and that's why Mike Florio, again, he said it with Chad Dukes on Friday. Go listen to the podcast at thefandc.com. He told Chad Dukes that Al Riveron is now the most influential and most important guy because he is deciding chunk yardage. I mean, you know, he's responsible if it's defensive pass interference, if he overturns a non-call and the team challenges it. He's now has the ability to give somebody 40 yards of free field position by overruling one of his officials with what he's seeing on a replay screen.
Absolutely. And because you can challenge both called and non-called pass interference penalties.
See, you think it's bad based on what we saw the other night on Thursday night where official did throw a flag? How about when a team challenges on something where a flag is not thrown?
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
not
it's
necessarily,
not just...
And I'm not talking about Saints-Rams from last year, but something that is... obscure,
yes,
and then all of a sudden you see Team A getting 40 yards of free field position,
and you're going to think that you're getting off the field on third down, and we're going to have major problems
somewhere at some point.
Oh, it's going to happen very quickly. 800-636-1067. Let's get to Forrest in Ashburn on the fan. Forrest, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for making
listen,
it.
I've got a much better understanding. Thank you so much of what happened, because like most fans, what we saw was the back judge or the judge behind the play throw the flag. Now, if that actually occurred, we understand. I just want to thank you guys for breaking that down because, like everyone else, we don't know what the heck happened.
Right.
And it's just good to hear what happened. Now, it would have been better to hear it real time.
Right.
But at least thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Forrest. Appreciate it.
Jay Gruden would have loved to have heard about it real time.
Again, it's not going to solve all the problems and all the frustration. But you make a good point. On Sunday and Monday night football, Thursday night football, there is a different set of eyes. There is a different protocol. There is a different, because there's only one game going on. I get it. It's a preseason game. I understand. But, you know, fans of the Redskins are not treating what happened Thursday night as meaningless. And by the way, there wasn't just one controversial call.
Somebody in New York reviewed that play.
Yes.
All you have to do is send word, because the league has that guy on the sideline, mm-hmm. the official on the sideline wearing a black jacket. Mm-hmm. Look for him. A lot of people don't look for that guy, but that guy, he's in constant communication with the officiating crew on the field. All you have to do is send word through that guy. That guy can get word to somebody on the Redskins sideline. Hey, here's what occurred and why.
Right.
They upheld the call, yada, yada.
There is an intricate communication system that the league sets up.
And it's not that complicated.
The guy that does it for the Redskins, Joe, I traveled with him for 6 years. Really good guy.
What's up, Joe?
You know, he sets up all this stuff. We can't get a communication line to Paul. I mean, even if it's not to Jay Gruden, even if it's to Paul Kelly or Bruce Allen up in the press box or in the coach's box or some, there's got to be a way that we can better, again,
that official,
figure out the communication element.
That official on
element.
The sideline who's wearing a headset is sitting at the 35-yard line, and he could easily, right outside the coaching box where the team has to keep all their players within, like 35 to the 35 or 30 mm-hmm. to the 30,
right.
He's standing right there. Jay and them know where that guy is.
Yep.
That guy could Jay could easily walk down to that guy and say, hey, what did they say? And he could give them a clear explanation or at least some semblance of an explanation so they could get on, you know, without obviously the controversy that occurred the other night.
All right, we've been focusing on communication and how to make that part of the system better. I wanted to also get into a couple of the other controversial calls with Pete and with you guys on the phones. I see Matthew in D.C., Pablo in Manassas, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. It is Pete Medhurst, Chris Russell with you. Until noon, here's P.J. Elliott on TheFanRadio.com. We welcome you back. Good to have you with us right here on The Fan and the radio.com app. Pete Medhurst with us. Nice enough to come out of the bullpen to help us out. He will host Nats Talk Live following the Nationals 135 series finale with the Milwaukee Brewers today at Nationals Park. Craig Heiss coming up at noon. He'll take you up until Nats on deck. Pete, back to the NFL officiating. Again, I think we can all agree that the communication has to be a lot better, because it calms everybody down, at least to some degree. Oh, I see now why they call that. Now, we're still always going to have plenty of people, and I know I ran into this yesterday on Twitter, because I was doing a show live from American Ice Company on Thursday night. I didn't have the chance while I'm live on the radio to kind of like really look over everything and to kind of focus in on things. And there were two back-to-back calls. And I was like, and I've heard like plenty of reporters and whatever and fans that were upset about certain things. And I looked at these two calls and I said, well, why is everybody so upset? I don't know how much of the game you got to see on Thursday night. But one of the calls was where Jonathan Allen dragged down one of the Cincinnati running backs, and they called, you know, a 15-yard foul for, I forgot the exact language, but basically for playing after the whistle. And then the next play, they whistled Josh Norman for initiating contact and lowering his helmet. And again, the official call is the official call, whatever, how they word it. And then Norman got so upset that he drew an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty pretty quickly, right? Who knows what he said? And those two particular back-to-back calls got a lot of Redskins fans all up in a lather, because most people were watching the game from the start, so everybody sees those, and that's the number one defense. I didn't have a major problem with either one of those calls. Maybe I'm a little bit more defensive of officiating than I should be. I do have a problem with officiating plenty of times. I'll go back to the Redskins' Thanksgiving Day loss in Dallas, where a lot of people seemingly didn't have that much of an issue. I had a major problem with a bunch of those calls. But on Thursday night, Pete, I kind of thought some of those calls were fair, if not right. I mean, I'm not a judge. I don't know every part of the rule, and I certainly don't know intent on either the official or the player side.
They'll never admit it or not.
But I thought they were fair calls.
Yeah, they'll never admit it or not. If you look at both calls, and I know exactly what you're talking about. If you look at both calls, by letter of the law,
right,
are they right calls? Absolutely. The Jonathan Allen call, maybe in the spirit of the rule, I think some officiating crews may have let that go. We've seen officiating crews let that go a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The Josh Norman thing, again, there's going to be some officials who may not call that.
Right.
But the unsportsmanlike portion of the foul, we don't know what was said specifically, but if there is a crackdown, point of emphasis on players being animated, complaining, regardless of whether it's profanity or not, if there's a point of emphasis for that, then that umpire or that official has to call that because he's being rated on whether he calls the plays correctly or not.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that component. But
I don't think either call was 50-50, by the way. I don't think they were 50-50. I'm just saying there are a handful of officials that probably would not have made the initial calls in either situation.
Okay.
So that's my point.
They were both officially called unnecessary roughness.
Correct.
It wasn't helmet to helmet. It wasn't.
And we know that's a point of emphasis.
Right.
We know that's a point of emphasis from the league.
So here's a question to, again, you who does some officiating on the side, granted, not at this level. To me, I think it's a good thing that they're trying to enforce it in August and maybe ease off in September and October. And to your point, a lot of times, like you said, you get players that are trying to make a statement, trying to, you know, make a claim to fame, if you will, trying to impress people in August. So maybe you have less of this as the season goes along because you have more of the regular players. In this particular case, it was the Redskins' first team defense. It wasn't two players that are not going to be on the roster.
Not just because
it was Josh Norman and it was Jonathan Allen.
Just because
Allen.
They're first stringers doesn't mean they don't commit penalties.
Right. And again, people on specifically the Norman one, people said, well, how could it be helmet to helmet? Well, as it turns out, again, one, unnecessary roughness is different than helmet to helmet, one. Two, what they're saying is Norman was going for the interception. And I do understand that Norman was trying to make a play on the ball. I got it. But to me, it looked like Norman lowered his trajectory, lowered his target before the incomplete and before the ball was loose. And because of that, and because the receiver had his back turned to Norman, when he turns around after he doesn't initially make the catch, then Redskins fans are like, no, it was the receiver that lowered his helmet into Josh Norman. The problem is most of the responsibility, I believe, is on the defensive player who can control.
In theory, it is. But at the same time, welcome to my world in college football where our controversial play is targeting.
Yeah.
Okay? Guy's already lowered, looking to aim with his shoulder. Okay? And as a guy's going to make a catch, his natural body movement brings him down, which then lowers his
trajectory.
And that makes the target now even higher for the guy that's already lowered. And that's where when we've gotten into this helmet-to-helmet stuff, and look, if you've got your crown, if you've got the crown of your helmet going forward, that's where they're calling the unnecessary roughness, irregardless of whether you hit the guy helmet-to-helmet. We saw it in the first week of the preseason. One of the quarterbacks got drilled, helmet, crown of the helmet right in his chest. They called the roughing the passer penalty because it's the crown of the helmet from the defender into the chest of the player.
And that's
different.
And that's kind of different with the crown
as opposed to even the face mask of the helmet hitting him in the chest.
But with Norman in this particular case, you can see, I just watched it again for the millionth time. He lowers his trajectory. He lowers his body.
Right.
He crunches up a little bit. And he leads with the crown of his helmet. And listen, they're not trying to just protect the offensive player here. They're trying to protect Josh Norman.
Exactly. And that's why I said some officials are going to let that slide and some officials are going to call that because they're going to call in the spirit of the rule, the letter of the law, rather, if the rule is leading with the crown of your helmet in any form, can be called unnecessary roughness
that leads
by letter of the law.
That leads to another question about consistency and what people want and is impossible to get that I want to get your thoughts on next. Plus, we'll get you guys aboard. Matthew in D.C., I see you. We're coming at you. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067 on the Fan and the Radio.com app. We were just watching the Little League World Series.
Nothing but the dog in me.
Medhurst is all fired up for different reasons.
Why do I act like that? Why do I chase the cat?
If you Nothing think this is just what he does on the radio, no, this is every commercial break. Just comes up with weird songs.
Just wait till I play Chuck Brown.
That's right. Hey, props to everybody that showed up at Chuck Brown Park yesterday. Fifth annual. Basically, it's like a big family reunion in the middle of the city to praise Chuck Brown and, more importantly, bring people together in just a... One of these years, I'm going to be able to get to it because, as PJ knows, I'm a...
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Humongous go-go fan goes all the way back to when at Southern High School we used to warm up for basketball to go-go music, where guys would take a trench coat in 90 degree weather to a go-go so they could have a tape recorder inside and get bootleg copies of the music. So it sounded a little funny when it came out of the speakers, but what they have done with this now at Chuck Brown Park, he's been gone 7 years, hard to believe, but I think it's the last 5 years now they've had a gathering at Chuck Brown Park and just a celebration of go-go and obviously a celebration of Chuck Brown. And we can bring people together and we're not fighting. We're not shooting anybody. We're just loving on each other and listening to great music. I props to all those people that make that happen. And that was yesterday here in town. So props to all those folks.
You've got to love on each other. That's for damn
sure.
That's
what it is, man. We got to love. We got to hug each other. We got to stop shooting each other. We got to hug each other.
I agree.
Shake a man's hand. If we got a problem with him, let's talk about it.
I agree.
Let's talk about it. Let's not fire bullets at him.
I agree. You're not going to find a disagreement with me on that. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. So I teased something for the second time today, and I completely forgot what I teased. So I'm just going to try and remember it real quickly here. But there was, again, all of these controversial officiating calls that people are up in arms about. I often wonder with fans and media if, and this is me too, we don't have a complete grasp of the rule, right? Mm-hmm. And then we can look something up like I did. In the NFL officiating guide, the online guide, right? And it's, you know, under use of the helmet, and it's the NFL video rule book. And it says, it is a foul if a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against an opponent. And then we're left to interpret, well, how did they interpret the call? We're left to interpret the call. So what I mean by that is, it says, it is a foul if a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact. So then we're asking our officials on the field, bang, bang, in the matter of a second, to determine not only whether a rule was violated, but also to determine intent.
Yes.
And to try and measure that out in a split second. I guess to me, and maybe taking the side of the officials, are we asking too much? I think we are.
Yes. What we've done is we have now, and I talk about this all the time, in sports, in officiating, we have over-legislated now. Because I run into this at the high school level all the time. We have over-legislated the National High School Federation rule book. And we have now, in all sports, over-legislated what the officials are supposed to call. Because now what happens is, Chris, you have veteran officials who are still going to officiate this way they've always been officiating. It's going to be spirit of the rule more so than anything.
Right.
But now, as we start to initiate younger officials in, you're going to get younger official who goes smack dab by the rule book. And more often than not, it's that official that ends up getting in trouble out on the field.
Right.
Because he's reading he's reading line by line in the rule book. And
well, so what you're saying
is
they interpret it different.
Exactly.
Okay, so here was what I teased. PJ was nice enough to go back and listen and remind me.
Because he's a great producer.
But I'm a dummy too. What I teased was, and again, I'm going to lean on you expertise, so many fans, media, say all we want is consistency. All we want is to know, okay, this is a foul in the first quarter. This is a foul in the fourth quarter. This is a foul in the playoffs. This is a foul in the regular season. This is a foul in the preseason. This is a foul in the regular season. Blah, 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 blah.
And Chris, you know what? That happens 97% of the time.
Right. But what I'm saying is when people demand consistency, why do we demand consistency of umpires and referees and officials and field judges and sideline judges?
And not players?
And not players or coaches or managers or teams.
I think we do. I think what we do, because that's the lifeblood of what we do. Because on Monday morning when people call up, they want to talk about why Josh Norman allowed that 15-yard completion.
Right.
Or why Josh Doctson didn't make that catch. Or why quarterback A didn't deliver the ball. Okay, that's the lifeblood of what we do. However, what happens is, case in point, Saints-Rams, something like that, one specific play, more often than not, gets blown up so much now because of social media. Chris, we had fans that tried to sue to get Roger Goodell to have to sit down for a deposition in a law office to talk about that play.
Right.
Are we serious? Are we serious that now we as fans, because of we've got so many social media warriors out there, that it's come to that where we can demand that the officials and Roger Goodell sit down for a deposition and cost people money just to do something like that costs hordes of money to put that together with law offices and the hours that get billed. I mean, it's gotten kind of silly, but what happens is we get that one play that gets off kilter, that tilts everybody, and it gets so much play that we often forget about the 97% of other games on a Sunday
that are consistent,
or the calls that are consistent that get made. I mean, we've gone through it in Major League Baseball this year. You know, right now there is some sort of point of emphasis based on what we're seeing from all home plate umpires. They are calling a much higher strike. Almost every umpire now is doing it.
Yeah.
Now we're used to the ball pretty much belly button ish on down being called. Now we got umpires that are riding all the way up to the label of the jersey, to the Washington,
which used to be the original strike zone.
Which used to be, look, the rule book strike zone says armpits to the top of the knees. We have more home plate umpires that are calling that after years of not doing that, and Major League Baseball is not coming out and saying, hey, we've asked our umpires as part of the speed up process to call more of the strike zone necessarily than we're used to seeing. But we're seeing it, and the players are having an issue with it because we're seeing it from not only vacation fill-ins, but we're now seeing it from veteran umpires who are doing it as well. Vacation fill-ins, I understand why those dudes do it, but when we're seeing it from the veterans of the world that are doing it now, you know, we saw Mark Carlson with a really big strike zone in Nats Park the other night. Now there seems to be a point of emphasis for it, but somebody from baseball, again, this is where the communication factor comes in. You know, hey, we're asking more of our umpires to call, you know, the armpits to the top of the knee strike zone. And if the players know that, they can adjust. But somebody's not communicating that fact from the umpires.
All right, let's quickly get to Matthew in D.C. here before the top of the hour. Matt, sorry I forgot about you, but go right ahead, pal.
No worries. Thanks. I love this. This has been a really great conversation, and it makes me want to point out a few things, but I only want one question. It's for Pete Medhurst. So part of the huge controversy and the issues that people are having here is because they have money riding now. The influx of betting and the expansion of betting is huge, but I don't want to talk about that. I also want to point out that the history of officiating and the issues with officiating goes way back. You mentioned the Immaculate Reception. I remember in 1970s RFK Stadium, after a game against the St. Louis Cardinals at the time, the fans were able to bring in stuff, and one fan brought in effigies of the seven referees and called it the seven cardinal sins. it's always been that way. But my question for Pete, because you're an expert in this, and I love that fact about you, one difference between football and the other sports, I want to go back to the first call that you all talked about, was that you throw a flag, but you don't blow a whistle, right? Sometimes you have to blow a whistle, but substantially you're throwing a flag and letting the play play out as opposed to in baseball or in basketball. So for the call that was made about the push-off, was the flag thrown then, or was the flag thrown at the reception point? Because that changes perception.
That's a great point. Because if you go back and look at the replay, from the one view they showed behind the offense, Kelvin Harmon is in the process in the air of going up against the DB to make the catch, and you can see the official who threw the flag is backpedaling and throwing the flag right then. And that's why, again, this play gets out of kilter, because everybody thinks that guy threw the flag at the point of contact between Harmon and the DB.
But that's
who that official can't see, by the way.
But that's where they do a terrible job, and it's a good question and a good call. Thank you, Matthew. That's where they do a terrible job of not explaining what the hell they called. And maybe they just made it up on Friday, because by Friday afternoon, the tune had changed. Thursday night, they weren't willing to talk about it. All right, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Final hour to come. We're going to actually talk about the Redskins and where they go from here, the quarterback situation. Something Chris Cooley said that caught my interest. I wanted to bounce off of Pete. We'll get into that next. 800-636-1067 after PJ Elliott, top of the hour, Sports Flash.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.